Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Why don't you think about something with me for a second? I know you may not be able to see me, but I'm going to sit down in this pew for just a minute. There's a reason that they don't make these pews that comfortable. Some preachers may even object to there being cushions in them, because we don't want to go to sleep. We don't want to rest in church. That's not what I'm preaching about today, by the way. But there are some chairs that they make very comfortable. I was over at Pastor Robbie's house the other day, and the kids were over there watching a movie and eating some ice cream, and Charlotte and I and the kids stopped by, and Charlotte sat down in the chair, and Robbie looked over at her, and she was like, "This is your chair, isn't it?" He was like, "Yeah, there's a button on the side of it if you want to kick your feet up." Because some chairs are meant for us to sit down in and rest and relax and just be. And those are good chairs, aren't they? Who in here has a chair like that? Yeah, most of the men are like, "Yeah, I got one." Some of you are like, "She hadn't let me get one yet." Today, we're going to be talking about the promises of God. Not all of them. But mainly, thinking about it this way, the Lord has made some promises to us who are in Christ. We believe that Jesus came and lived a perfect life for us because we're sinners. We needed Him to do that. Otherwise, we would have to pay for our own sin for eternity. So Jesus came and lived perfectly for us in our place. And not only that, but because the payment for our sin is death, He then died on the cross for us in our place. And 3 days later, confirming that He actually did do those things for us and confirming everything He taught us about Himself and about us was true, He rose up out of the grave, achieving victory over sin and death for all who place faith in Him. And for those who place faith in Jesus, there are promises to rest in, to sit in, to relax in, to just be in, even in the chaos of this world. And what we see in Genesis chapter 15 is a relationship between a man, a sinful man named Abram, sinful just like us, and God. And what we see throughout Abram's life is that when we're introduced to Abram, God makes some promises to him, and Abram believes Him and begins to follow God. We see that in Genesis chapter 12, and then And later on in Genesis chapter 12, we see Abram make some mistakes. Even as he followed the Lord in faith, his faith waned at times. And because of his faith waning, he made some mistakes. We see Abram's faith grow through chapter 13. And then in chapter 14, he courageously rescues his nephew Lot. And then in chapter 15, we see him continue to walk in faith, and we see the Lord remind him of the promises that He's made to Abram. Now you may say, well, Abram's a good example for us to follow, and he is a good example for us to follow and to learn from in God's Word, but he's not just an example. This is kind of a side note for today, but I want to say it because I want to be very clear about how this passage relates to us as Christians. God chose a people to be a light among the nations, His people. The way He brought His people about was through the man Abram. And through those people, Israel, He brought our Savior into the world, Jesus. And the way that we become children of God is through Jesus. And where all that starts for us is the man Abram. So everything we see in Abram's life, his faith, yes, it is examples for us, but it is an example not just of how we should live by faith as we follow Jesus, but it's an example of God's faithfulness to us, because he said he was going to do some things for Abram, making his descendants great in number. And through Jesus, we are Abram's descendants. And so not just Abram's faithfulness is an example, but God's faithfulness to us is a reminder that he made promises in Genesis 12 and 15 that affect us today, which is where ultimately we're going to land. God is faithful to his people. And when we see him remain faithful to Abraham, it is also a sign of faithfulness to us. So, I know that was a lot. So let's pray and just ask the Lord to guide us through his word this morning. Help us to hear his word this morning and help us to apply his word to our lives this morning. Bow your hearts with me. Father, some of us come to this passage very familiar with it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear your word afresh and anew with our hearts and our minds today. Some of us come to your word this morning completely unfamiliar with this passage in Scripture. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, your truth would just resound in their hearts. Truth of your faithfulness to us. Truth of your love to us. Lord, I pray that ultimately our response, whatever it may be, whether it is to continue to walk faithfully following your Son, or it is to actually begin following your Son today, God, I pray whatever our response is today, it would glorify your name. Amen. All right, Genesis 15, are you ready to dive in? All right. Genesis 15, we're gonna read, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, like, there's some things that seem really strange in this chapter, but we're going to sort them out, hopefully, most of them. And I think they're going to make sense to us in a huge way this morning. So let's read verses 1 through 8. Remember, Abram's been following the Lord for some years now at this point in his life. Chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." That's where Eliezer is like, "What? You don't? What's wrong with me?" Right? Abram wants a child of his own, though. Verse 3, "And Abram said, 'Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir.' And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside and said, 'Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness." Verse 7, "And he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess.' But he said, 'O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?'" And then in the following verses, the Lord confirms that Abram will indeed possess the land that he is inhabiting currently. Abram, at this point, is kind of a nomad. He's a shepherd. He's moving from place to place with his family and his possessions and his flocks and his herds. And God has made two big promises to Abraham. Abram, at this point, later we'll call him Abraham. He's made two big promises, starting in chapter 12, repeated in chapter 14, then again in chapter 15. Abram will, his family will become a great nation. So that means that Abram and his barren wife, Sarai, will need to have a kid at some point. But they're getting older, and things are looking bleak, and they haven't had a child yet. So what does Abram do when the Lord comes to him and he says, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward will be great. Abram asks the obvious question. He says, Lord, I continue childless. And Eliezer's going to inherit everything I have. So how is this all going to work out? Where my descendants actually become a great nation like you said they would. The other promise was, Abram, you will receive this land. And so Abram asked another question. How is this going to be, Lord? How will this all work out? How will I know that this one day will be my land? Here's what I want you to see. There's times when we see in God's Word people ask questions of the Lord. And there's times like in Exodus 3 when they're asking those questions because they're actively doubting the Lord. Exodus 3, Moses doesn't want to obey the Lord. Moses does not think it will work out if he obeys the Lord. So Moses says, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And so he's asking these questions out of doubt, not faith. But here we see a different kind of questioning in Genesis 15. This is a good kind of questioning. Abram is believing the Lord. It tells us that in verse 6. It says, and he believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. Abram had faith. These questions weren't coming out of a place of doubt. They're coming out of a place of faith. And what I want us to see this morning is that God is patient with us. God was patient with Abram. Abram hadn't gotten it right every time thus far. If you just read through, starting in Genesis 12 and read up to this point, you're like, wow, Abram's messed up pretty big so far. But the Lord is patient with him, and Abram's asking honest questions. Lord, you said I'm going to have a child. You said you're going to make my descendants great in number, but how is this going to work out? You said I'm going to possess this land, but how will I know? God was patient with Abram. And Christian, I want to remind you of something this morning, myself included. God is patient with you and me too. He's so patient. Very, very patient. He's not patient like a school teacher between spring break and the end of school. Like the school teacher gets the last day and says, well, I'm not in jail and they're still alive. Kind of patient. Patient like a swimming teacher kind of patient. I would say like a parent teaching a child kind of to swim, but I thought further about that this morning and I was like, that doesn't really work for me. But a swimming teacher with a child who is teaching them to swim, the child is just at times frozen by fear at the edge of the pool or in the pool, flailing, and a good swim teacher just stands there patiently calming the child down until they're calm, and then they move about the lesson. And that is the way that Lord is patient with us. He's patient. He's so patient. Some of you are seeking to do the right thing, the God-glorifying thing in your life. Make the right decision, go in the right direction, lead your family correctly and faithfully to the Lord. And some of you live in fear that you're going to get it wrong. And I just want to encourage you this morning that one, God is patient with you, even if you get it wrong. He's patient with you. His grace is greater, as we've already sung. But two, He's more worried about your heart than whether you make the right decisions. So if your heart is bowed to Him as you make decisions, even the wrong decisions, if your heart is bowed to Him, that glorifies Him, and He is good with that. And he is faithful to correct us even when we, in faith, may make the wrong decisions. And so I just want to encourage you for a moment. If that's you, if you're frozen in your decision making because you're going, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the right decision is. And if the day comes and you are trying to make the right decision, but you make the wrong decision, God's patient with you. And two, if you're seeking Him, you can come to Him and do exactly what Abram did, which is, Lord, I know what your will is, but I don't know how it's going to work out, so would you help me? Because God's patient. And He's patient for a purpose. Second thing I want us to see this morning is this. Why is God patient with us? With me. And with you. He's patient with us because He wants our faith in Him to increase. He's patient with us because He wants our faith in Him to grow. He was patient with Abram because He wanted faith, Abram's faith, to go from A to B, and then B to C, and then C to D, and so forth. Just like the swimming teacher is patient with the child as he or she teaches them to swim for the purpose of them learning how to swim. God is patient with us as we learn to walk by faith for the purpose of teaching us to walk by faith. Notice God's response to Abram as he asks these questions. Abram in verse 2, but Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my household is Eliezer of Damascus. Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. Verse 4, the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and the number of the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Do you see the Lord's gracious response to Abram's questioning here? He answered his question. He reminded him of his promise to Abram. Yes, there are times when we should just cling to the promises of the Lord without having to be reminded of them. But look at the graciousness and the patience of God with Abram here. God responds to Abram's question with the answer to Abram's question. You will have an heir, and your descendants will be more numerous than the stars, Abram. And you say, why did God answer him? God answered him because God's patient for the sake of Abram's faith. He wants Abram's faith to increase in him. So God reminds Abram of his promise to him. Same thing happens later on. Verse 8, O Lord God, how am I to know that I will possess it, this land? And we'll dive into verse 9 and beyond in a moment, but what God does in those verses is He confirms His promise to Abram that he will indeed receive that land as God has promised. Because God is patient with Abram for the sake of growing Abram's faith. Here's one of the things I want us to see here. As we watch Abram's life from Genesis 12 on to his death later on in Genesis, what we see is a man walking by faith, yes. We see a man make mistakes as he walks by, of sin as he walks by faith, yes. But one of the things that we see is we see a man who begins walking by faith. And as he follows the Lord, we see an active relationship between him and the Lord. And we see that man go from walking by sight, responding to the things that he can see in his life, to walking by faith. In other words, we see a baby in the faith, and by the end of Abram's life, we see a grown man in the faith. We see him move from a spiritual diet of milk to a spiritual diet of meat. And that is the exact picture that the New Testament gives to us as Christians. gives us a picture of Christians coming to faith in Christ, people coming to faith in Christ. And many times we use Jesus' words to describe what happens when somebody comes to faith in Christ. They are born again. And if somebody has just been born, what does that mean that they are? A baby, right? And then later on in the New Testament, we see a couple of different images about growing in faith. One is the image of diet. We move from spiritual milk to spiritual meat. It gives us the idea that walking by faith is a process of growing in faith. We see a picture of spiritual growth. Being born again, crawling spiritually, walking spiritually, running spiritually. And again, I just want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you say, well, I'm not like so-and-so, who in your eyes is a spiritual giant. They didn't just become a spiritual giant. There was a day when they were a spiritual babe. And the Lord intends the same for you. He wants you to grow in your faith. And He is patient with you as you walk by faith to grow you in your faith. When you encounter obstacles and doubts and challenges in your life, He wants you to come to Him so that He can grow you up in your faith, just as He did Abram. So, if you're struggling with something in your life, a challenge or direction in your life, I want to encourage you to go to the Lord, not in doubt. Lord, I know You're not going to do this, so I don't even know why I'm asking, but in faith. Lord, I know You love me. I know You want me to grow in my faith, but I don't know what to do. Would You help me? And I guarantee you, if you come to the same crossroads 10 years down the road, your faith's going to look different, more mature than it does today because of the Lord's patience with us. Do you see that here in Abram's life? This brings us to our final truth this morning that really undergirds Abram's life. It undergirds our lives as Christians. And it's this, that God's promises to Abram were not dependent upon Abram. They were dependent upon God. God's promises to us are not dependent upon us, but they're dependent upon God. In other words, God's promises are dependent upon Him, not us. Now, read with me these verses. And things may seem strange to you in these verses, but just read with me and bear with me. Verse 7, we're going to read down to 21. It says, "And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He, God, said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old." So this is God's answer to Abram's question, what God's about to do. "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. This is where you might say, what in the world is going on, right? We'll get to that in a second. Verse 12, "As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram." All right, let's pause there for a second. So get this picture in your mind. Abram asked God this question, "Lord, how will I know that You're going to keep this promise to me?" God's answer is, "I want you to go get some animals. I want you to come cut some in half." And here's what Abram does. I want you to picture this in your mind's eye. Abram cuts the three large animals in half. He puts half of the large animals over here and half of the large animals over here. And then the two birds, he just places them at the end. You see it in your mind's eye? Now I want you to keep that in your mind's eye as we read the rest of these verses. Verse 12, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in the land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation. Here, God is telling Abram about future events that will happen to Abram's descendants in Egypt. That's the book of Exodus. Verse 14, I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. So let's pause again. Abraham has done what the Lord asked him to do. He's slaughtered the animals, cut them in half, put them on either side. Sun goes down, Abram falls asleep. And as he sleeps, God affirms the promise to Abraham that he will indeed receive this land. But not Abraham specifically is going to receive this land. Four generations later in Abraham's family will receive this land. Okay, you with me so far? Verse 17, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. Talking about the pieces of animals. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And the chapter ends. So I want to read this verse 17 one more time, just so I want you to picture it in your mind's eye. Pieces of animals, Abram's asleep. God's just reminded him of the promise. He said, it will happen. Four generations later, your family will inherit this land. It will be theirs. And then Abram sees this happen in a vision as he's sleeping. The sun had gone down. It was dark. Behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces of the animals' carcasses. You're like, what in the world is going on? How in the world would Abram know what God is telling him? And why would God need to do this just to say, Abram, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do? Because at this time in world history, the way people made covenants, promises between one another. If Brother Todd and I made a covenant between our families for the future, for some reason, one of the things that we might do is we might bring the best of our flock together, slaughter them, cut them in half, make an aisle between the halves of the bodies of the animals we've just slaughtered. And then together, we make a promise to one another, and we walk between the pieces of the flesh as a sign that we're going to keep this covenant between one another. And when we see the smoking fire pot and this flaming torch, what we see is a symbol of God's presence that we see throughout the Old Testament and into the New, which is fire and smoke move between these animals' carcasses, this flesh on the ground. Because God is making a covenant with Abram. He's saying, look, I'm going to do this for you. I'm making a covenant with you, a promise to you. The difference between what everybody else did in making a covenant and what God did right here with Abram in making this covenant is Abram didn't walk down the aisle. Only God did. Because this promise was not dependent upon Abram. It was dependent upon God. If you're Abram here and you wake up in your slumber and your sleep and you're able to comprehend, which he would have been eventually able to comprehend what has happened and what God has communicated to him, there's a whole bunch of weight off of Abram's shoulders that is removed because these things that God has promised to him are not dependent on him. They're dependent on God. And he has a relationship with God in which he just walks by faith and God fulfills God's promises. And church, we have so many promises to cling to in Christ. We see this promise most clearly fulfilled in Abram's life, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, in which the floodgates were opened for the nations to come to the Lord and receive salvation. And at that point in time, when that started happening, and it's still happening today, Abram's family just continues to multiply with descendants. And as those who have placed faith in Christ, we have so many promises to cling to. And that may be where you are today. Grace, which is our very own salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, out of the New Testament says this, "For grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." In other words, the saving act of God is not dependent on whether we get it right or not. My promise of salvation isn't dependent on my behavior. It's dependent upon my faith in Christ. That promise and all the other promises flow from that one. Why does this matter today? Well, a lot of reasons. Some of you need to hear that His love for you stretches further than the depth of your darkest hour and most sinful thoughts. And you need to sit down and rest in that. Some of you need to hear that in Christ He is with you and He will never leave you or forsake you. And you're in a valley and you're scared that He has forsaken you, but you need to sit down and rest in the promise that He will never leave you or forsake you. He will guide you. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. Someone who is frozen because of a decision in front of them needs to sit down and rest in that promise. If you will confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Someone who is struggling with guilt from their past needs to sit down and rest in that promise. Just as Abram sat down and rested in the fact that it did not depend upon him, God was going to bring to fruition what He told him He was going to bring about. There are some promises for us that are for later. Those that I just read are now. There's many others for now. But some are for later. Jesus will come back and He will do justice. So if you've been hurt and you don't know how to let go of that, you can trust that the Lord will take care of it one day, because He is coming back. And you need to sit down and rest in that. Jesus is coming back and He will do away with pain, suffering, tragedy, sin, and death. Someone's walking through circumstances you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. And you need to cling to the fact that one day, pain, the suffering, the tragedy, death itself will come to an end, because Jesus said He will bring it to an end. And from that day forward, it will be eternity spent with none of these things. And some of you who are walking through those circumstances need to cling to that and rest in that promise. So many promises to cling to sit down in and rest. Some of you are in Christ. In other words, you've placed your faith in Him. And you've been scurrying around or living in fear and anxiety or worry. And you need to sit down in the promises of the Lord today. You may need to go get your Bible and read specific promises made to His children in the New Testament and rest in them today. Some of you are here today and you've yet to place faith in Christ, I just want to be very clear. These promises that are made to God's people are made for those that are in Christ. So they are available to you, but you need to step by faith into Christ. And you can do that today. So maybe you just need to stand and sing and praise the Lord for His faithfulness. Praise the Lord that His promises depend on Him, not us. Maybe you need to bow your knee and pray and say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I need your help, and you are faithful, and I just need you to lead me. Maybe you need to bow your knee for the first time today to the Lord, be adopted as a child of the King, become one of Abram's descendants today. However you need to respond, however the Spirit's leading to you to respond, I want to encourage you to respond today. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing a closing song. Father, we love you. God, I pray that your word is clear. I pray if anything that wasn't clear, I pray that your Spirit would clear it up. For those who are yours, who belong to you, have placed faith in Jesus today, that are struggling in their faith, growing in their faith, Lord, I pray that you would remind us with your word of the promises that we need to rest in today and in the days to come. God, for those who are wrestling whether or not to trust you at all, God, I pray that you would bring them to a conclusion to trust you and to trust you quickly. God, above all, we pray that however we respond today, that you would be glorified, not only by our time here, but as we leave with your word on our hearts. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.